Hello everyone, and welcome to Demimond Paranormal. In tonight's episode, we will be visiting some of the most haunted locations all throughout Massachusetts. Now, in tonight's episode, we will be visiting two major locations in Massachusetts. This includes both Salem and Boston. So join us, won't you, as we visit such locations such as the Salem Inn and various other places such as the Witch House and the Daniel's House Bed and Breakfast. As usual, I'm your host, Tori from Demimond Paranormal. And if you would like, you can search us on Facebook.com, the same name as you see here, to join a small supernatural-based group that studies all things creepy and paranormal. This includes famous ghost hauntings, witchcraft of the history of witches, werewolves, aliens, Bigfoot, and all types of creepy stories from all around the world. This includes mythology and folklore. So if that interests you, feel free to check us out. And if not, that's okay. But tonight, we are going to visit some of the creepiest spots in Massachusetts, USA. So join us, won't you, as we dive in deep to the dark underbelly of Massachusetts. Welcome back to Demimond Paranormal. In our first segment, I thought we would visit somewhere that's quite spooky to some and quite serene and thrilling to others. If you're like me and you are a taphophile, which means someone who is a cemetery enthusiast or a cemetery tourist or even a grave hunter. Now, this term describes an individual who has a passion for cemeteries and epitaphs, photography, art, and history. So, if you're interested in that, this first segment is for you and I alike. But in this segment, we aren't just going to any old cemetery in Massachusetts. We are going to some of the most haunted graveyards in Massachusetts. So why not just add a little bit of a creep factor to our grave hunting, if we shall. So our first cemetery that we're going to visit is the Granary Burying Ground in Massachusetts. Now, paranormal experts believe that this is one of the most haunted locations in Massachusetts. Now, the Granary Burying Ground is located on Tremont Street in Boston, and it's even the final resting place of famous people such as Samuel Adams and Paul Revere, and not to mention John Hancock. It's also the final resting place or the home of a number of ghosts, and one of these spirits is that of a man named James Otis Jr., who in his life was a local lawyer who asked God to strike him down with a lightning bolt after he became mentally incapacitated in a bar brawl. Amazingly, Otis was indeed killed by a lightning bolt not too long after his incident. Now he is said to roam the cemetery and exude the smell of stinged flesh. Our next location is the Oak Grove Cemetery in the famous location of Fall River, Massachusetts. Now, we've all heard the stories of Lizzie Borden, and Fall River may come as a bell ringing to some of you. That's where Lizzie Borden is from. Well, Oak Grove Cemetery is the final resting place of the famous accused murderer, Lizzie A. Borden. And as we all know, she was famously accused of hacking both her parents to death with an axe in her enormous home in Fall River. However, this cemetery is said to be the final resting place of the ghost of this mysterious woman who is said to haunt the grounds of this cemetery. Now, people visiting this cemetery have occasionally reported hearing screams or feeling as if they are being watched while strolling through the headstones here. So if you ever want to visit Lizzie Borden's grave site, or even if you're just taking a leisurely stroll through the cemetery, look out for the spirit of Lizzie Andrew Borden. Our next location is located in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. This is the Holy Hood Cemetery. Now, this picturesque cemetery is holding a little bit of a spooky secret after dark. It was designed by Patrick Healy and is home to quite a few members of the Kennedy family. Now, there has been reports of ghostly forms of children that have been seen darting amongst the headstones just after sunset here. A few visitors in the 1920s have also reported hearing a strange, eerie song in a language that sounded like Gaelic, coming from the north end of the cemetery. Opinions are split on whether this is just the mourning songs of a local Irish mother whose son was buried in the cemetery, or maybe it was just more of an otherworldly origin. But either way, it's definitely creepy and quite interesting. And our next stop is somewhere very famous. This is Copse Hill Burying Ground, located in Boston, Massachusetts. Now, this is the second oldest cemetery in Boston. It was established in 1659, and it is filled with famous figures such as Cotton and Increase Mather, as well as a former slaves and Revolutionary War soldiers. Some say the hallowed ground is haunted by the spirit of Increase Mather, a fierce and imposing colonial preacher who condemned many of the so-called Salem witches to hell. Some visitors report seeing glowing orbs of light appear among the tombstones, while others say they felt unseen bodies brush against them in the dark. Our next cemetery that we're going to visit is located in Leicester, Massachusetts. This is the Spider Gates Cemetery, also known as Friends Cemetery. Now, Spider Gates Cemetery is referred to as that name due to its unusually designed iron gates. And it has been around since 1790 and is also known as Quaker Cemetery. But its actual real name is Friends Cemetery, and it's also been called the Eighth Gate to Hell. Local legends say that the graveyard is a pathway to another dimension, and that satanic rituals have been performed on a stone area of the cemetery known as the altar. There has also been reports of unusual noises, lights, and coming from the cemetery. And it's also known to hold a few ghostly apparitions as well. Our next location is Old Hill Burying Ground in Concord, Massachusetts. Now, this ancient burial ground is showing its age with mole holes and rampant weeds, giving the site an air of abandonment. However, the rich history of the burial ground offers some true chilling stories around. For example, the Pierce family crypt has been broken into not once, not twice, but three times, and in 1925, a group of young boys entered the dusty tomb, removed the bandages that were wrapping the corpses inside, and propped up the bodies to make them appear as if they were lounging, and then proceeded to run down through town, dressed in the tattered clothes of the dead bodies. Now, you just ask yourselves, what would possess these young boys to do that? I have no clue. But perhaps we'll never know. However, the second break-in of the crypt happened in 1985 by again a group of teens who said to have performed unspeakable deeds with the bodies. And then there was a third desecration at the hands of a man doing community service at the tomb. He removed one of the hands of the corpses and used it to scare one of his friends before being apprehended by the police. Now, today, the entrance of the crypt is bricked over to prevent any further vandalism or even shenanigans. However, many say the spirits of the Pierce family are said to be vengeful and roam the cemetery looking for those who violated their tomb. And who can blame them? Okay, so our next graveyard to visit is the Howard Street Cemetery, located in Salem, Massachusetts. Now, this cemetery is haunted by the victims of the infamous Salem witch trials. In particular, the ghost of Giles Corey is a suspected spirit who is thought to haunt this cemetery. In life, he was a suspected witch who died by torture when he refused to answer the questions of his interrogators. But in death, he is thought to roam the headstones here in the cemetery. The legend goes that he cursed the town before his death and was seen walking the streets before the Great Fire of 1914. Our next location is located in Duxbury, Massachusetts. This is the Miles Standish Burial Ground. Miles Standish Burial Ground in Duxbury is home to the Mayflower's most infamous or famous passenger, Miles Standish himself. The graveyard is also reportedly the final resting place of several very restless ghosts. Now, this includes the spirit of an old woman who groans throughout the night and a man who rushes at evening visitors. Dun dun dun. So now, everybody, I have two more graveyards that we're going to visit before we move on to our next segment. Our second to last cemetery that we're going to pay attention to is the Meeting House Cemetery in Princeton, Massachusetts. Meeting House Hill Cemetery is known for one particularly haunting tale that began on April 14th, 1755, when Martha Keys sent her two oldest daughters to a pond to gather sand for cleaning. Her third daughter, who was a four-year-old Lucy Keys, followed the older pair and was shooed back into the house. Lucy was never seen again. Her mother, Martha, was said to be driven so mad by the loss of her daughter that she spent the rest of her days calling out for Lucy in the woods near the pond. Her spirit is said to still scream out for her daughter at the cemetery. Now, this was the Wachusett Pond, where the little Lucy Keys is said to have disappeared and never came home. And our final cemetery that we're going to talk about tonight is the Dean Hill Cemetery in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. The Dean Hill Road Cemetery in Fitchburg is more known as the Rev due to the large number of Revolutionary War soldiers who were buried there. Reports of figures with glowing eyes appearing between midnight and 3 a.m. abound, are reported in local legends of strange sexual rituals were performed in the cemetery in the 1960s. There is also the claim of a corpse that was a burned body was supposedly found on the road just outside of the cemetery. And that brings us to the end of the list of haunted graveyards and cemeteries for tonight's episode. Now join me next for a list of the most haunted locations all throughout Massachusetts. Hello and welcome to the second part of tonight's episode. Our first location that we're going to visit is located in Gardner, Massachusetts. This is the S.K. Pierce Mansion, and it's probably one of the most mentioned haunted houses out there. Many times when a house is up for sale, realtors have a hard time making a closing deal. Now, the Pierce family was once powerful and rich in their lifetime, but when the Great Depression hit, they were affected like everyone else. They even lost their family fortune and fell on hard times. Murders and death have occurred in the mansion over the years, resulting in countless sightings of floating orbs, spirits, and disembodied voices. Guests of the home have witnessed firsthand accounts of objects moving on their own and doors slamming shut by themselves. Why would anyone want to rent a house or own a house that begs suspicion? Also, if you're feeling brave enough, you can go on a haunted tour that is offered to take you through the abode. Also, the mansion is built on a square footage of 6,661. If there even was a case of more demonic activity, the S.K. Pierce Mansion is made for it. What did you say? That's not the only mansion that we're going to talk about in tonight's episode. Our next location brings us to Salem, Massachusetts, for the Ropes Mansion, which is said to be one of the most haunted places in all of Salem. And the history behind this mansion is anything but cheerful. In the early days of Salem, tuberculosis was wreaking havoc far and wide. One such family to be hit with this horrible disease was the Ropes. When the parents of young Abigail and Elizabeth died, the two young girls were left to take care of themselves. Now, Abigail would later go out to marry, but Elizabeth did not, and as fate would have it, Elizabeth got tuberculosis as well. This left Abigail as the only person left in the family to care for her poor afflicted family, or her sister. Not long after, Elizabeth would succumb to this horrible disease as well. This absolutely crushed Abigail. The sudden death of the last member of her family drove her to insanity. She would then spend the rest of her life locked away inside the family mansion. Sadly, Abigail would meet a tragic end. One night when she was tending to the fireplace, her clothes had caught on fire. With her husband being used to hearing her scream in despair, he paid no mind to her horrible wails of being lit on fire. She died as a result of this, and it was for these reasons that the Ropes Mansion is now so haunted. Those who had visited the home can still hear the yelling and screaming, and also doors will open and shut by themselves, and loud thuds could be heard along the walls. It is unknown which Ropes family member is haunting the mansion, Maybe it's all of them. None have then since been seen clearly. Only dark apparitions wander the halls and peek through the windows at onlookers. However, it is said that there is no doubt that they are forever tormented to live out their days forever in the old home. Our next location is a strange one. This is the Bridgewater Triangle. In this location in Massachusetts, it's similar to the Bermuda Triangle. The Bridgewater Triangle is said to contain its own eerie tales, which is located in southeastern Massachusetts. This 200 square mile area is said to be home to a large black dog-like beast, and several UFOs have been claimed to have been seen here as well. To make matters even more strange and bizarre, as they already are, townsfolk have even claimed to have spotted Bigfoot within the Bridgewater Triangle. There has been many sightings of a ghostly hitchhiker that wanders around as well. And our next spot is the Murphy's Restaurant and Pub, located in downtown Salem. It attracted many patrons over the years, and Murphy's is located just down the road from the old Burying Point Cemetery. Now, Murphy's has quite the odd history behind it. However, it all stemmed when an awful automobile accident happened many years ago, when the casket of a young child was said to have crashed through the building's exterior. This happened when a hearse was driving too fast and lost control. It said that when it crashed into the building, the coffin it was carrying flew out and landed into the pub. The child was inside, and the child came tumbling out as well. It was a horrific sight, to say the least, to all who have witnessed it. There is also a rumor that the building was constructed on top of an old burying site. With dark history like this, it's no wonder why people who had visited the pub claimed that it is haunted. Many nights, apparitions would make their presence known. There is one such apparition of a large black figure that is said to often torment women. Now, why it's drawn to women is up for debate, but some say it's said to be so powerful it could knock over serving trays. It's so powerful that it can knock it right out of the hands of many waitresses. There's also reports of a young lady who wears a blue dress. The spirit is said to be much kinder and would often laugh when customers were carrying on conversation. However, her true identity is unknown, but many think she's one of the executed witches who died during the Salem witch trials. Our next spot that we're going to visit is Salem's first church, which in today's world is known as Rockefeller's Restaurant. But the building was once home to Salem's first church, and it was built over ancient tunnels that were common in Salem's darker days, with sordid tales of love and murder making up this landmark's dark and evil history. This story, y'all, is pretty wild. But it's a rather strange story. The legend tells of a young lady by the name of Sarah who was in line to marry a sailor, but unbeknownst to Sarah, an older sea captain loved her. When he found out that she was going to get married to this younger sailor, he was filled with jealousy and rage and killed her. Allegedly, the sea captain struck her with a plank, killing her in the alleyway alongside the first church. Now, he needed help to dispose of the body, so the captain got the help of the church's minister. He went along with the plan for whatever reason to get rid of the body for the captain. He probably paid him off because he owed him a favor. Whatever the reason, he later killed himself over what he had done. However, in today's world, Sarah, the spirit, is said to regularly haunt the very grounds on which she was murdered. Our next location is the Fort Warren Prison in Massachusetts. Now, the story behind this prison goes like this. I'll take you guys all the way back to 1862, when a Mrs. Melanie Lanier traveled from South Carolina to Fort Warren. Why? Because she was on a mission to save her husband from being held captive by a Confederate soldier, and the locals were quick to lock him up. Not knowing what they were going to do to him, Mrs. Lanier promptly devised a cunning plan to sneak herself into the prison where her husband was being held captive. She got in, she busted her husband out, and she even let some other prisoners roam free as well in the process. However, sadly, it wasn't long after that when Melanie and the others were discovered. Now, Melanie did bring a weapon with her, but things did not go as planned, as the old gun backfired right in her hands. A large piece of shrapnel flew towards her husband and struck him in the head. Now, after this incident, Melanie was executed not long after. But to this day, folks say you can hear all kinds of ghostly sounds coming from the area, and many have spotted an apparition roaming around wearing a black hood. Now, this was the very same article of clothing that Melanie was wearing when she was hung. Is it her ghost? Our next location is the Salem Inn in Salem, Massachusetts. The Salem Inn is located 18 miles north of Boston, along 7 Summer Street. Its strategic location makes it a favorite spot for guests who want to explore the city. Salem Inn consists of 3 historic structures, making it one of the most famous seaports in the world. The reports of paranormal activities and ghostly encounters in the Salem Inn had circulated around the town for many years, when it officially became a hotel. Both guests and staff have shared their experiences here. They all experienced that the hotel is haunted. Staff working at the hotel have reported missing coal or logs from fireplaces. Other experiences include candles being blown out from nowhere. The most haunted room in Salem Inn is room 17. This room is haunted by a ghostly woman believed to be named Elizabeth, also known as Catherine by some guests. But why would she haunt the room? Now, according to legend, the room was where the woman was allegedly killed by her husband. Her ghostly actions are revenge on any man who dares sleep in there. Our next location is the Hawthorne Hotel in Salem, Massachusetts. Now, this hotel was obviously named after the author, Nathan Hawthorne. The Hawthorne Hotel is haunted, and it is quite interesting. Just by looking at the building, you can quickly realize some things. The first is its expensive architectural design that was most likely to cost a fortune. Now, it has been frequented in scenes in TV series and films. The hotel is featured on the Haunted Hotel in Ghost Hunters, premiered in 2001 and 2007. Also, it is the location of one episode of the beloved TV show, Bewitched. Now, many famous names have stayed in the hotel. This includes Johnny Cash, Liza Minnelli, Betty Davis, George Bush, Colin Powell, and Walter Cronkite. Thirdly, Hawthorne Hotel in Salem is indeed haunted big time. It was officially opened in 1925, and it was built near Nathaniel Hawthorne's birthplace on Union Street, which is near the equally spooky House of the Seven Gables. Now, many people have reported ghostly activities from the hotel building. On the top floor which is occupied by the Salem Marine Society, employees and guests have claimed to see the ship's helm turning. This seemingly delusional phenomenon has made people believe that ghosts of sailors are still lingering in the Salem waters. Room occupants have reported their locked belongings found scattered if left unattended. Some commonly missed items in their luggage are antique maps and charts. People have also reported smelling apples while at the hotel. The site where the hotel currently stands was an apple orchard that was owned by, now get this, Bridget Bishop. And as we may know, Bridget Bishop was the first victim of the Salem witch trials. Guests have also reported faucets turning on and off by themselves and the lights flickering on their own. These are all classic signs of a very classic ghost haunting. Our next location is a place, a very famous house known as the Witch House, located in Salem, Massachusetts. Now, Jonathan Corwin was heir to one of the largest fortunes in the Puritan New England era. He would go on to take part in the well-documented and much-publicized Salem witch trials in the early 1690s. During that time he lived, witch hunts were a common and widely accepted practice, although other parts of the world were quickly abandoning such nonsense. The New England territories had to deal with so much public fear and mass hysteria before they would learn to abolish their archaic ways. But before that, 19 innocent lives were lost due to society's twisted way of thinking of centuries past. Now, men, women, and even young children were subjected to the horror that were involved in these heinous trials. Salem will always go down as a major learning experience going forward. While most repented for their involvement in the trials, some did not, and perhaps one of these cursed who wander the very area in which they are condemned others. But how did this all start? Why do some believe that Salem is haunted to this very day by spirits of lost souls of the last year? Now, the witch house was properly known as the Jonathan Corwin House. It is named after its owner, Jonathan Corwin, who was, you named it, you guessed it, he was the judges of the Salem witch trials. He investigated much of these claims associated with the alleged witchcraft activity, signing several arrest warrants during his time. Due to an inadequacy in records, it's difficult to surmise his rule completely. The witch house is the only structure still standing today that has absolute direct ties with the Salem witch trials. Since then, it served as a home for one of the judges who took part in the arrest, leading to multiple executions. It's said that it is haunted by the spirits of the innocent people who were hung during the trials. And to add to the belief that this particular abode is haunted, it is also rumored that the witch house was used as Jonathan Corwin to interrogate those accused of witchcraft. Now this brings us to Judge John Hawthorne, who was a prominent judge in the trials and a good friend of said Jonathan Corwin. Judge Hawthorne built a small empire through mercantile trading with England in the West and Indies. He owned much land in Salem, helping him gain positions of power and authority in the town. He was eventually appointed a justice of peace and served in the High Court. He was primarily meditated disputes, and within Salem Village, he quickly rose to further authoritative power once in the Salem Witch Trials. One of the most sinister and heartless judges involved in the Salem Witch Trials, John Hawthorne is responsible for handing down most of the executions. Now, Hawthorne had a well-documented reputation for his callousness towards the accused of witchcraft, and it's primarily because of his treatment of the innocent that this house is a central focus for those interested in Salem's haunted history. And for more than 300 years after his death, Jonathan Hawthorne is still remembered throughout Massachusetts as a cruel zealot, incapable of showing mercy, so much so that he gained the nickname, the Hanging Judge. Many accused him of signing his seat on the bench to commit murder. But interestingly enough, Judge John Hawthorne is the great-great-grandfather of author Nathaniel Hawthorne, who wrote the novel The House of the Seven Gables, of which the Turner House was eventually named after. Not too far from the witch house is the cemetery where Judge Hawthorne is said to lay to rest, Old Burying Point Cemetery. Allegedly, his spirit has been captured on camera numerous times, and thrill seekers still visit here at night to try to catch a glimpse of the infamous judge. Now, if you're inside the house or taking one of the available tours of the witch house that still have some of the several artifacts from the 17th century that can be observed. Also, within the kitchen area, there are many documents from the actual Salem Witch Trials. An odd practice from this era was to place a shoe inside a home's wall to ward off witches and warlocks. And wouldn't you know it, there has been an old black shoe from the past owner doing just that. And if you guys have ever read or watched the play or even the movie, The Crucible, this part might sound quite familiar to you. Also, perhaps one of the most frightening items on display of an event of actual witchcraft was a witchcraft doll called a poppet. Witches would have allegedly place hexes on these dolls in order to curse their victims. The doll in question was actually found in a different yet nearby house, said to be one of the very ones of Bridget Bishop lived. They had the first woman executed during the Salem Witch Trials. More paranormal activity regarding the witch house. One of the most often reported encounters of paranormal activity is encountering that of a disembodied voice. And this place is not surprisingly, supposedly the most haunted place, or one of the most haunted places in Salem, Massachusetts, where people have claimed to have been touched by unseen forces, and they have felt cold spots in certain areas of the house. There has also been a few reports of hearing the voice of a little girl, quite possibly that of the youngest accused of witchcraft during the trials, and that was a 4-year-old little girl. Other claims include people hearing the disembodied voice of a child, people being touched by an unseen entity, and cold spots in the house. The house was even featured on Ghost Adventures, where they explored the paranormal activity of the witch house. Our next location is New Boston Inn in Sansfield, Massachusetts. This federal era building is known for its high paranormal activity, and it was featured twice on TV on Ghost Hunters, and it was built in 1737. The New Boston Inn has been welcoming guests for more than 200 years, and it has definitely gone through some serious history involving revolutionary soldiers, railway traveling, and one unfortunate murder. In the early 1800s, a young heiress by the name of Harriet fell in love with a local farmer's boy, but as it turns out, the summer fling had been an ill-fated one. The young couple was very much in love, but their parents refused to bless their union, citing his lack of fortune as the reason. A broken-hearted Harriet and her family returned to New York, and her lover enlisted in the war. The next summer, Harriet and her family came back to celebrate her marriage to a rich, handsome man from New York. Her lover found out soon, and he ran into the inn to stop it, only to find out that he was too late. In a jealous fit, he took out his pistol and shot Harriet, who later died in room 4 of the inn. And you can still stay in this room if you wish. And maybe you can catch a glimpse of the apparition of poor young Harriet. Our next spot is the Hooper Lee Nichols House, located in Boston, Massachusetts. Now, it's said that an everlasting card game has been going on at this Cambridge mansion ever since the Revolution. It's said that 5 Hessian soldiers from the Revolution era are said to have been awoken during renovations at the Hooper Lee Nichols House in 1915, and have been playing a never-ending card game ever since. Several visitors say that they heard the sounds of the card game and the soldiers' disembodied voices. Some even say that they've seen soldiers walk back and forth to the card table. Our next location in Boston is the Omni Parker House Hotel. Now, the hotel's history dates back to the 1800s, and since then, it has seen many guests, and many of them have reported incidents of lights flickering on and off. They've heard disembodied voices in empty rooms, and they've seen ghost sightings of people dressed in the finest 19th century attire. Some of its most haunting stories include that of the elevator, which often stops on the 3rd floor without anybody calling it, and the spirit of Harvey Parker, the hotel's former owner, roaming the 10th floor. He can be seen often breaking into guests' rooms and roaming the hallways. He can also be seen rocking back and forth in his chair, although the hotel itself has no rocking chairs within it. Alright, and that does it for tonight's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it, as I enjoyed relaying all these spooky ghost stories to you. And for right now, I'll see you guys in the 3rd and final segment of tonight's episode, the outro. Thank you guys so much for joining me for tonight's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you would care, try to search us on facebook.com, Demimond Paranormal. We'll be grateful to have you on our small but little happy family of all things supernatural. As usual, I'm your host, Tori, and I will see you real soon for an all-new episode of Demimond Paranormal. So with that being said, have a good night, or a good morning, or even a good afternoon, whatever time you're listening to this podcast, and stay safe. make good choices, be kind to one another, and I will see you real soon. But until then, sweet dreams. And as always, stay spooky.